Free speech. What is it? Who's supposed to be doing it? This is Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. Listening to a wonderful podcast. There's a guy I enjoy. I don't listen to him all the time, but he's called the Z-Man. You can Google him up. He's not a Christian, but he's smart. He's well-read. He's got some good ideas. I'm happy to send people his way, too. You won't get my perspective on it, but that's okay. He's got some things worth listening to as far as I'm concerned. He had a podcast recently on free speech and what is it. I haven't finished it all, but I thought to myself, is there anybody more concerned about free speech than Christians? There shouldn't be. Free speech is the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Being able to speak the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the core of who we are. It's the core of our identity. Or it should be. I think there's a movement in Judeo-Christianity to make being inoffensive the core of their identity. And I think that's a failure on the part of the church. I think that's a failure on the part of the leadership. And it's a failure on the part of individual Christians. Being inoffensive is not a Christian virtue. Not even, in no way, shape, or form is being inoffensive a Christian virtue. But because so many Christians have bought into the idea that they're supposed to be inoffensive, they stop speaking, and they've self-censored, and they've done it in the name of their Judeo-Christianity. I don't want to be offensive, so I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to love them into the kingdom of God, or whatever it is that they're thinking. They will not open up their mouth and speak. Some of them are afraid. Some of them don't know. Some of them are confused. Some people think they have nothing worth saying. First myth I'd like to dispel is that Christianity requires somebody to be inoffensive. Sorry. In fact, I don't even like the word Christianity. I'm not sure what that even is. I have a loyalty. My loyalty is to a king. It's to the man, God, Jesus Christ, to the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ. It's a personal loyalty. It's an oath I have sworn directly to him. It's an oath that I've sworn directly to Jesus Christ as the king and as the monarch of the universe. He's the creator. So this isn't, I don't have a religion. I have a loyalty. I don't want a religion. I don't need a religion. I don't need a morality. I have sworn an oath of loyalty to my maker, to Jesus Christ. I have a loyalty. And those that would go by the name of Christian need to get over the idea that this is a morality club, or a let's be inoffensive club, or a gardening club, or a flower club, or a singing club, or a women's prayer group. We're loyal. We're loyal to Jesus Christ. We're loyal to our monarch. We're loyal to our king. First, last, and foremost, and above all. Don't reduce your life to trying not to offend the Antichrist. God, no wonder we're losing. No wonder we lose. Oh, I want to be a good Christian, so I don't want to offend anybody. Being inoffensive is not a Christian virtue. You want witnesses? You want me to tell you who? You want me to tell you why? I don't know. Where do we start with? How about Jesus Christ himself as the creator? Did he or did he not cause the whole world to be flooded? We've been talking about that recently at bloodandfaith.com. With the loss of billions of lives, whether they're people or animals, probably a billion people. There's people have done studies on that. I couldn't give you the details. But why not? Why not, millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, a billion people wiped out? You don't think that offends somebody? The very idea of it offends somebody. If somebody out there listening right now would say, well, you can't say that. God would never do that. God wouldn't just wipe out billions of people. Well, the Judeo-Christians will say that. As for me, I'm reading the Holy Scriptures, and this is what it says. All right, moving forward. How about Abraham? Did not Abraham have 318 trained men, men trained as warriors, as fighters, as soldiers, worked as an army, and they went out and they killed people? People say, oh, he's the father of the faith. He was a killer too. Abraham's a killer too. And let's not forget, he took his son Isaac up onto the mountain, swearing to put a knife in his heart. Well, that's offensive. You know, nobody, you shouldn't do that. Hey, there they went. God said he did. Isaac, I don't know. I think Isaac had enough trauma in his life from what happened on the mountain. But let's go on to Jacob. Jacob the deceiver. Did he not steal his older brother's birthright? Jacob the supplanter? Well, I just can't believe. He must have offended his brother. Oh, he sure did. Offended him even unto death. Murder, baby. Murder and blood was there. How about Moses? Moses makes his debut on the stage of history, murdering an Egyptian. Why? Because he was hassling one of his racial brothers. He was hassling a Hebrew. So he murdered the Egyptian. Well, you don't think that offended the Pharaoh? Offended Pharaoh a lot. Moses takes off, comes back, and proceeds to offend Pharaoh and all the Egyptians over and over and over until finally Pharaoh lets him go. I mean, shall we talk about the prophets? Shall we talk about Jeremiah? Here's the equivalent of what Jeremiah was accused of 2,500 years ago, 2,600 years ago. Jeremiah, you're repeating Putin's talking points. You're repeating the Russian talking points. How dare you be on their side? You're a traitor to your country. Because here's what Jeremiah was doing. He was saying, y'all need to surrender, give yourselves up, go over to the Babylonians, because you're gonna. If you do, your lives might be saved. And that's what God was telling Jeremiah to say to him. But he was accused of being a traitor. He offended people. So they wanted to kill him. They wanted to murder him. They threw him in that pit of clay. Well, they hated him, hated his guts. How dare you be so offensive, Jeremiah? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego offended the king. So we ain't bound to your stinking dang statue. Ain't doing it. Oh, king was enraged. He offended him. Daniel went out and prayed. He said, I don't care what your stinking law says. I'm going to pray to my God. Forget you. I threw him in the lion's den. Shall I talk of Jesus Christ? Offended people right and left. He offended the people that were trying to follow him. A bunch of people are following him, and Jesus Christ turns around. He looked at him. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And they turned around and they walked away by the hundreds. Being inoffensive is not a Christian virtue. The disciples of Jesus Christ came to Jesus and said, Jesus, you're offending the Pharisees. You're offending the great religious class. You're offending these people. He didn't care. Time will fail to tell me if we talk about Stephen and Peter and Paul, who over and over and over offended. Stephen offended them so much that they gnashed their teeth and they stoned him to death. Being inoffensive is not a Christian virtue. What's a Christian virtue? Opening up your mouth and speaking. Even when it offends people. I don't care. I think the problem on behalf of, and I'm talking just average Joe Christians, is they're afraid of offending people. You need to get over that, because you know what? The Antichrists are not afraid of offending you. The Antichrists are not afraid of offending Jesus Christ. The Antichrist, the people that reject Jesus Christ, they got all their little holier-than-thou morality that they're trying to jam down your throat with your LGBTQ and their open borders and their diversity and all these. The stuff is it's combination of fecal matter and throw up that they're trying to force you to drink, and you and I are afraid of offending that group. You and I are afraid of offending them. Oh, we don't want to offend them because, you know, we're just supposed to love them. No, sorry. That's not the Christian approach. The Christian approach is an approach that's loyal to our master and loyal to our king. How do we demonstrate that? We open up our mouth and we speak. How do we overcome the world? The blood of the Lamb the word of our testimony, and not loving our own lives even unto death. Got to have all three. You got to have the blood. Has to have the blood of Jesus Christ. Two, the word of our testimony. Well, I just told them that Jesus loves them so much, and Jesus loves you. How's that worked out, church? How's that worked out in the last several generations, church? Has that worked out pretty good? Has that been a good evangelistic plan? Let's just go tell everybody that Jesus loves them. Oh, okay, people have been converted by the masses, haven't they? Not. Third component is you shall not live your life even unto death. And baby, that's gone. That's left the church. It's left the church. Don't offend them. Don't offend anybody. Might lose your job. Might get kicked out of school. Your friends will hate you. Your friends will reject you. Hey, look, man, you want to overcome the devil? You better not love your lives even unto death. What did you think you joined? A prayer group? A singing club? A social group? All of life is a loyalty test. All of life is a loyalty test. Are you loyal to Jesus Christ? Are you trying to build your own, do your own little thing? Oh, I got a little Jesus cross. I got a little, you know, a little thing that I put on my tagline on my email that says that, you know, John 3:16, and it's not very offensive, and people will know that Jesus loves them. Hey, if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, and it doesn't work, maybe you ought to change tactics, church. Speaking to the whole church here. Maybe you ought to go back and look what Jesus Christ did, and what Stephen did, and what Paul did, and what Peter did, what Jeremiah did, what Moses did. You don't think Moses was offensive to the Egyptians? You don't think they were offensive to all the nations whose land they crossed to get to the promised land? You don't think they were offensive to the Canaanites? You don't think Joshua and the 12 tribes were offensive to the Canaanites when they went in there and slaughtered them? Satan has sold you a different religion, just like he did to those other people. Here's your traditions that you're going to use. It'll be a nice little thing. Here's your little religion now. So Satan has sold the Christian church this new little religion where, just don't be offensive. Love everybody into the kingdom of God. And guess what? You're a doormat. You're an utter doormat. The church is a doormat. You know what the Bible says? When the salt has lost its flavor, it's good for nothing but to be tossed out and trampled under the foot of man. How do we offend people? With the words of our mouth. Church is so afraid. Oh, I could never offend somebody. I just don't want to be offensive. And so they're no good. And so the church is cast out and it's been trampled under the foot of men. Look, supposedly the greatest Christian nation on earth, the United States of America. Look at us. Look at us. Is there anything really left saving? Is there anything left saving? My heart cries out to God for my country, my people. And I want to say, yes, Lord, God have mercy on God. But let me tell you something. We got to get over these little man-made traditions that we brought into the church, the leaven of the Pharisees. We brought into the church and said, well, this is our religion, and you know, this is our Christianity, and Christianity is Christian. Listen, we have sworn a personal oath of loyalty to Jesus Christ. You demonstrate that in your words. Who's king? Peter walks into a Roman military officer's house. The first thing he says to him is that Jesus Christ is Lord. In other words, you're Caesar, he ain't nothing. Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, God sent Peter to minister to him and to help him, and he probably shouldn't have said that. I didn't think of it that way. Oh, yeah, no, right in his face, Jesus Christ is Lord. You still want me here? Still want me to take care of your kid? Jesus Christ is Lord. Boom, right off the bat, in your face. Oh, but we're supposed to be good Christians and just not... No, man, get over that. That's a man-made tradition. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. Err on the side of loyalty to Jesus Christ, please. Err on the side of being loyal to the Holy Scriptures, loyal to the truth, loyal to what the Scriptures say. I don't care how offensive it is. I do not care how offensive it is. People are so willing to offend Jesus Christ and the Word of God, but oh, they don't want to offend the Antichrist. It's inverted, complete inversion. So we've created a religion that's full of the leaven of the Pharisees, full of these man-made traditions that have subverted the Word of God, and we count ourselves as good little Christians. Listen, it's personal loyalty to Jesus Christ and His words. It went from Genesis through the Revelation. And if that means offending people, man, have at it. You keep the devil's Ten Commandments, but you'll break God's Ten Commandments. Take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Who's the name of the Lord thy God? It's Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord thy God is Jesus Christ. Third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. There's no other name that's higher than the name of Jesus Christ. It's the name above all names. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. Those in heaven, those on earth, and those underneath the earth. The angels of God worship Jesus Christ. Oh, it offends them when you talk about building Christian nations. We're not supposed to impose our religion on anybody else. Oh, fine. Okay, fine. So let me get this straight. It's okay for them to go and teach your kids to hate themselves in school. That's okay, which is a violation of the fifth commandment. And you're not willing to stand up for the fifth commandment. That's okay. It's okay for them to go out and push this LGBTQ stuff on your children with your tax dollars, and you're supposed to keep your mouth shut. And they're grooming your children and your neighbor's children and your nieces and your nephews and your grandchildren for utter slaughter, for sexual slaughter. That's what the LGBTQ stuff is in our schools. It's grooming the children for sexual slaughter. Utterly rip their souls out. Now you tell me, you do that to a kid, you tell me what the chances are that he's ever going to trust that God loves him. He's ever going to trust that, you know, you just have faith and have trust in Jesus Christ. Yeah, they told me, you know, all my life to trust what people told them, and look what happened to them. What's going on is satanic. It is evil. I mean, everybody wants to be a hero. We all go to the movies. We want to be a hero. We go to the movies. That's why we go to the movies. We want to be James Bond. We want to be, you know, whatever action-adventure figure it is. Stand up to the evil man. Women action heroes, too. What's her name? What's the one? Gal Gadot? I forget what role she plays. Superwoman, or I don't know what she plays. Oh, I want to stand up against the evil. She stood up against the evil white men. The world is so full of opportunities to open up your mouth. It's so full of opportunities to fight evil. It's full of opportunities. You can't tie your shoes in the morning and not have opportunities to offend Satan and to preach the word of God and speak the word of God. There's darkness everywhere. You just have to you could probably scratch two fingernails together and cause a spark to offend the darkness out there. Oh, but I can't. My Bible says don't offend people. It says it in several places. Cause no offense to her. Got that. I understand that. I'm familiar with the word. Put it in context, folks. Back it up and go rewind this podcast for the last 15, 20 minutes. Put it in context. Is God worried about offending people? Well, I can't flood the world because some people down there might be offended. And I just need to love them into my kingdom. No, he said, hey, it's done. A time's up. Noah, get in the ark. I'm gonna blot. Bible says he's gonna blot out everything that has flesh on earth. God didn't say, oh, you know what? I think in the future there's some people are gonna read that and they're gonna get really, really offended and they won't believe in me, so I better not do that. No, he said, no, blot them out. You think God was worried about offending the Egyptians when he slaughtered every one of their firstborn, including their animals? Oh, that's just such a bad precedent. I don't think we could do that because people might read that and get offended, and they don't want to serve God. They don't want to have eternal life, so we can't do that. No. No. Being inoffensive has never, ever moved God. It's we have it inverted. We've inverted it in the church. We'll offend God 6 ways to Sunday. We'll offend God every day by our actions, and more and often than that, by the silence of our mouths, not letting something come out of our lips. Hey, I'm guilty. I'm just as guilty as the next guy. Everything I preach to myself because I've been just as guilty as the next guy. Oh, we don't want to offend people because, God would never do that. Oh, really? Oh, really? Go back and read John chapter 8. Get back and read the Gospels again. Go read the book of Acts. Oh, well, that was just a long time ago. Unfortunately, that's a true statement. Hasn't been around in America in a few generations. Well, we don't want to, we just want to love. Listen, man, you've invented your own religion. You've invented your own religion. It's the precepts of the elders. It's the traditions of man, which Jesus Christ explicitly got in the face of the Pharisees and rebuked them for that. And he warned his disciples. Why did he warn them? Because he knew that this was going to happen. He knew that this was going to happen. He said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Why did he say that? Because he knew that was going to happen in the church. Come up with your little man-made ideas. Well, we're going to rebrand Jesus Christ. You just stay in the closet, Jesus. We're going to give you a makeover. Don't just we got it. We got it all taken care of. And so he's been rebranded and remarketed. And, oh, God, some of it works. Look at some of these mega churches. Packed out, baby. Thousands, tens of thousands of people. Who are they loyal to? Or do they got themselves a nice little comfortable religion? I watched that one dude. This was years ago. I was sitting in Iraq. It's Easter Sunday morning. Well, I said, I probably ought to get up and go to church. I didn't want to get up and go to church because they bang on the drums too loud, so I didn't go to church. And I said, well, I better watch TV. So I turned on the TV, turned a couple channels. Here's this dude. I don't know who this – I know his name now, but I didn't really know who it was then. Big poofy hair, big teeth, skinny guy. And it's Easter Sunday morning, and he's talking, and I was like, I don't know what this guy's talking about. Who does this guy believe in? Where's the crucifixion? Where's the resurrection from the dead? And he was talking around in circles and all this cotton candy stuff. And it's like, this guy, I don't recognize this. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, my sheep hear my voice. And somebody else won't fall. I ain't following that guy. I don't recognize who he is or what he represents. Not my king. He does not represent my king. And I'm like, I don't know the guy. I don't know who he is. But he's not part of whatever it is that makes me who I am. And that's infected the tens of thousands of people in his church. I'm sure he's driving nice cars and whole nine yards. Got nothing against driving nice cars. But you know what? I'll keep my... my total Ford Explorer every day of the week over that, because it's at the end of the day it's I won't say any more about that. Look, life is a loyalty test. Who are you loyal to? Are you loyal to Jesus Christ? Why are we more afraid of offending those that reject him than offending Jesus Christ? Oh, it's okay to offend Jesus Christ because he'll forgive us. But they won't, so we better not offend him. Started off on the First Amendment. Started off on about freedom of speech. Look, the only way we're going to get out of this mess that we're in Australia and New Zealand and Western Europe and the United States and Canada is when Christian men decide that they're loyal to a monarch, that they're loyal to a king. This isn't about a little prayer club. You swear an oath. You swear your life to be loyal to Jesus Christ, and you open up your mouth and you declare it and you say it. Come hell, come high water. When the men of the church understand that and see that and feel that in their belly again, oh, you won't have to wait for God anymore. Almighty will step in and he'll start making things happen. He said, okay, finally, I got some men. Men like Gideon. He put his life on the line. Put his life on the line by doing what he did. Offending his father, his own father. Bible says, honor your father and mother. He shouldn't have done that. He was a bad little Christian. Because he went into his father's house and he burned his father's idols down. That was disrespecting your ancestors. You create your little religion. You're more afraid of offending those that hate our king. He's our king. He owns this place. We're his sons. Time for us to speak like that. Time for us to act like that. Fritz Berggren. BloodandFaith.com.